Welcome to Sheridan Park this morning. We're really glad you're here with us and you made it here safely today. As we continue on, I just pray, I'll just remind you guys just to, as these songs are being played, they're not just songs. It's not just melody that we're singing. These words are the truth, and I just pray that as we go through these songs that you'll take time to reflect on the words that are being sung. And how they can relate to our lives. So we're going to continue on with another song. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven. Spoke your name into the night, and through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written, Jesus Christ. My sin and rest.
Good morning, Sheridan Park. What a privilege it is to be upstairs with the adults this morning. I just wanted to welcome you all here. Some Sundays, I'm sure it must feel like a miracle to actually get here. I know it did for me today, and so I feel a real sense of accomplishment to be fully clothed in proper clothes here at church with all of you. So welcome. The first thing I want to do is I want to dismiss the kids to Kids Connecting. So if you're in senior kindergarten up to grade 6, head on back and you're going to go downstairs to your teachers now. And then I want to welcome any of you who are new here visiting with us today, or new-ish and you're visiting with us today. We're so happy that you came, and we want to make sure that you feel welcome. So fill out the card that's in the seat back in front of you, and after the service, if you bring it out front to the back, we'd like you to have a coffee or a tea on us from Starbucks. So make sure you do that before you go today. So here at Sheridan Park Family Church, our mission is connecting young families to Christ. Giant spotlight over there. And how we want to do it is, giant spotlight over there, we want to connect up to God, into the church, and out to the world. And this Sunday, as we have been in the last couple weeks, we are focused on connecting you up to God. And to help you do that, Pastor Keith has been speaking on a series called Soul Care. And if you would like to go deeper each week, because there's a lot that we cover on Sundays, every Monday night at 7:30, there's something that's called a Soul Care Lab. And it's available for anyone who is interested. And it starts here at the church. And it's an opportunity to apply what you're learning and to go deeper into the lesson on Sunday and to receive real healing. And then the last way that we can be connected into this mission and be more involved and continue to learn is the Soul Care Conference, which is taking place at Wellspring Church in Burlington on November 21st to the 23rd. And I've been told that space is limited, so sign up as soon as possible if you're interested. The conference is already over half full. Whoa, there's nothing like panic when you hear that. So head home today and have a check at the website on that. There's a link in the registration on our website, and there's a Soul Care card in your bulletin that you can use as an invitation card. It's a great series to invite someone to. Even if they're not really interested in spiritual things, the conference will be friendly to those who have never heard of anything like that before. We believe that there's real value in it and in relevance to everyone, so invite someone that you know. All right, I'm going to call the ushers forward, and we're going to take up our offering for this Sunday. And it's a real privilege to be able to have this opportunity to give back to God something that he's given to us. Let's pray together. Dear God Almighty, we come before you after a full week with many things that have gone on, both happy, both sad, frustrating, angry. Lord, you know in each heart and each soul what each person has gone through to come to be here before you today. And so we acknowledge you, Lord. We acknowledge your great presence. We acknowledge your sovereignty in our lives, and we acknowledge how wonderful and loving you are as our Father, that you care about every little detail that's gone on for us, and that you are so ready to take us in today, Lord, to hear what you have to tell us through your Holy Spirit, and to just comfort us and feed us, Lord, so that we might go out this week ready to face whatever it is we need to face. I pray, Lord, that you would accept just these small things that we're offering to you in return for all the things that you've blessed us with, that you may use this for your kingdom, for your glory, for your benefit here, Lord, in our church, in the community, and the families around us. We ask that you would bless and multiply all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after.
Stand with us as we sing this next song. Thank you.
One time when my son Titus was just a young toddler, we were trying to get him out the door, and we put his shoe on, and then he immediately took his shoe off, and we didn't know what was going on, so we put his shoe on again, and he took it off again, and he started to get really angry and frustrated with us, and this happened quite a few times, and we were getting frustrated as well. And then finally we realized that there was a thorn in his foot, and that every time we put his shoe on, it was aggravating his foot. And that's why he was acting out and acting so irrationally at the time. So we realized something about thorns that day, and that is the thing about thorns is that they'll always bother you unless you deal with them. And it's the truth about life that we all have thorns in our souls, splinters, if you would. And time itself is not going to heal those things. And no matter how good your family upbringing was, you have thorns in your souls. No matter how good your life was, you have thorns in your souls, and you must deal with them. And chances are that if I were to ask you right now to recall an experience that messed you up in some way, may have caused the thorn in your soul, chances are you'd be able to, just like that, bring it to mind. Maybe already something, some experience has come to your mind. I remember it was a few years ago, just as a young parent, that I came to the realization that I was going to do things in my life that was going to mess up my children. And no matter how hard I tried, no matter how good I was going to do some things that was going to cause wounds. And that if my children grew up to actually be healthy people, that would probably be somewhat in spite of me and my best efforts. So I started praying at that time that God would go ahead of me and heal any wounds and in any way that I would hurt my children. And the thing about hurts is that if they're really bad, they can leave these thorns in our souls. That time itself just won't heal. Just think about it. Let's say you're walking in the woods and you brush alongside a thorn bush and it cuts you on your shoulder. Now, that's going to heal over time. But if a thorn broke off in there, it may heal, but the thorn is still there. And so every time someone comes along and accidentally brushes up against your shoulder, you're going to have a reaction. Probably an overreaction, because it's spiking the pain, because although it's healed, the thorn is still there. And so perhaps you have experienced this in some way. We don't usually use the term splinters or thorns or thistles. We usually talk about buttons. And we talk about our buttons being pushed. So perhaps you have some buttons in your life. You probably know what they are. Maybe every year at a certain time of year or a certain event, you get sad or you get depressed. Or maybe you're always overreacting, you know, to those closest around you, like bursting out in anger, and you don't know exactly why that is. Or perhaps it's when certain things or certain things happen in your life or certain people say certain things, you know it's going to bother you. And you know it's going to be hard to let go of certain things. And when it happens, probably that night you're going to be staying up and losing sleep because you're mulling it over in your mind. So we all have buttons, we all have thorns. And however it may show itself, chances are that you have something that you need to deal with. And unless you deal with it, it's not going to go away. And if you're anything like me, for the longest time, I really had no idea how to change. I thought, you know, I had some scripts that were playing over again and again in my life, patterns. And I wanted to break them, but I wasn't sure how. And it seemed like I was destined to replay the same patterns over and over again, or like play the same scene but with just different actors. And then I discovered the principles of soul care. And I found that the Bible has many principles, great wisdom, when it comes to understanding the soul, when it comes to understanding and healing the thorns of our souls. And the Bible makes it clear from the very beginning that we live in what you might call a thorny world. It's a world full of thorns. We see this in the first three chapters of the Bible because the first few chapters of the Bible paints the picture about how this world that we know came about. And as we know that in the first three chapters, that God created like a garden paradise. And in that garden paradise, it was without thorns. That's how he made it. But God wanted us to love him purely. He wanted us to love him out of our own volition, out of our own free will. And so he decided to put one forbidden tree there in the garden. And the rule was we couldn't eat from that tree. To test us, to see if we were willing to love him and obey him. And of course, as you know, the story goes, is we could not keep that. And because we sinned, God was forced to kick us out of the garden paradise and into a world full of thorns. And it says that he cursed this world. This is exactly how the Bible puts it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field." So you see, God, he's cursed our world with thorns and with thistles. Okay, that's the world we live in. These are metaphorical and they're literal. They're metaphorical because we know that there is no part of God's creation that has escaped the curse. So every single part of creation is cursed with the curse of thorns. And so when we live in this world, it's inevitable that we are going to brush alongside some thorns, that we're going to get cut, that we're going to get stung. Whether it's depression or addiction or sickness, corporate greed, infidelity, poverty, death, bullying, mental illness, betrayal. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We all feel the sting of the thorns of this world. And so because of this, we end up getting hurt, and when we get hurt, we end up hurting other people. I once read these very wise words that a very wise author wrote many years ago, and it said, it's very simple, hurt people hurt people. And you know, when I heard that, it stuck with me because I knew that it was true, and it's proven itself to be true again and again in my life as I've seen this and as I've experienced this. A few years ago, I was hurt by someone more than I've ever been hurt in my adult life. Basically, when I first met this person, we got along very well. We had a good relationship. Generally, I feel like I'm a very likable person, and we got along well. But then they went through some very deep personal life hurt, a very hard time in their lives. And during this time, I tried to be there for them. I tried to give them their distance, but also provide comfort and support, what I could. But eventually, over time, things changed, and the relationship between us began to be very strained. And I found this to be odd because I always tried to treat people nicely and respectfully. And when I could tell that there was negativity towards me, I automatically started trying to be even nicer towards this person and to rebuild that relationship. But over time, the cracks began to show, and it became very obvious that this person, for whatever reason, detested me. And it kind of came to a head because this person started to do things that were intentionally to harm me, intentionally to try to hurt me and to hurt my reputation. And so eventually I had to address it. Something had to be said. So I remember I sat down with them one day, just one-on-one, and I said, you know, in all sincerity, like, what's, I need to know, like, what's going on? How do I make this better? And that person shared with me that they had been seeing a counselor for a while, and through the counselor, they had identified what it was, because this person knew and was acknowledging that this was happening. And what had happened is that they had gone through a very mentally abusive and controlling relationship. They weren't in any longer, but during that time, they had developed some real deep hurts, some deep wounds. And so now any time that a man in authority asked her to do something, it was poking the wound, this festering wound, and she was unable to heal. And that's why every time that we had to work closely together, there was a reaction from her in a very, we would say maybe an overreacting or an irrational type of a way. Hurt people hurt people. It's the truth, and I've seen it time and time again. And so if you are hurt, you owe it to yourself, and I wouldn't say even to yourself, you owe it mostly to those closest to you to try to get some healing. Because if you do not heal, you're going to just perpetuate the hurt down the line. That's always what happens. Hurt people, those people get hurt, and they end up hurting more people. And this is a great plan of the enemy because he wants to perpetuate hurt and division in this world. And so you're going to keep hurting those closest to you unless you do something, and time alone will not heal the thorns. So let's take a look at what are some of the practical ways then that we can actually begin to heal the thorns in our souls. The first thing you need to do is you got to realize that you can't get healing without hurting again. You can't get any healing without hurting again. Some hurts are low level, right? Like, you took my last donut. I'm hurt by that. Listen, it's a small thing. Those things, you get over with a little bit of understanding and time, no problem. But some hurts are very deep. They're so deep that you can't help but have residual effects from that. You know what they are because they keep affecting you, and you know they're affecting you. They're those things that even if you would say, I'm not an emotional person, if you were to take time by yourself and really reflect on that thing, you would cry because it's hurt you very deeply. And so these hurts tend to leave thorns, and these thorns will continue to affect you. And what you need to do is, in order to get a thorn out, if you've healed or if there's been a lot of time, you actually have to cut open your wound again in order to take the thorn out. And of course, this hurts, and it feels uncomfortable. And Canadians, we like to feel comfortable all the time, generally, right? And so that means in order to really heal wounds, to heal these deep ones, what you have to do is you have to be more concerned about being good than feeling good. That's very important because it's not going to feel good, right? But you will be better. It is good for you. And once you accept this truth, then you need to do the hard work of digging in there, and it begins with forgiveness. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about forgiveness because actually in 2 weeks we're going to be covering the topic of forgiveness just by itself because it's quite a big topic and there's a lot to unpack there, and the Bible says a lot about that. So needless to say, we'll just say you have to forgive. That is important. But you also need to heal. So what we're going to be talking about today is more specifically some ways that you can heal and sort of pave the path towards healing. But you still need to forgive as well. Like if someone were to come along and they were to cut you, yes, you need to forgive that person for cutting you, but also you need to heal the wound. There's something that needs to be healed. So we're going to focus on how to heal today. And to begin healing, you really need self-awareness. We've talked about this again and again because it's such a key when it comes to soul care. You need to know yourself intimately well. What's affected you? Where are you? How did you get here? Think of self-awareness like the ammunition to fight the battle, so to speak. You're arming yourself to heal yourself. And so to help you to do that, real simple, tell your story to someone or write it down in brief. So 5 to 10 minutes. Like, I mean, it would take longer to write that, but like you would tell your story in no more than 5 to 10 minutes because you'd be surprised how intuitive you are to your own story and to what's important in your story and what's been impactful to you. You know, what has had a deep impact? They say this is because emotions are strong when it comes to memories. Like the stronger your emotion was with a certain memory, the better chance that that memory will become a long-term memory and get stored. So those things, you know, when you only have to tell your story in 5 minutes, when you're limited, those things that you tend to bring up are those things that were impactful to you. Remember we talk about the deep wounds have thorns and the thorns continue to affect you time and time again. And so those things that you bring up, right, intuitively when you tell your story, those are the things that are still affecting you. And those are the things that are important and that had an impact when you were developing. Therefore, I would say, you know, if you can, pick a friend and tell your story or journal it down and then just kind of pick through that and use that as a gateway to self-awareness and realize that what you say is actually very telling when it comes to what actually needs to be healed. And that's a really good place to start. Secondly, when it comes to self-awareness, you can simply ask God to show you. And God loves to show you things. I don't have time to get into all that the Bible says about how God speaks to us. So it'll have to suffice to say a few things, and that is that our God is a God who is alive. And the Bible says that he lives in all those who believe in him and have accepted him into their lives. And so therefore he lives in all of us, and like a good father, he loves to speak to us, his children. And so when God speaks to us, he often speaks to us internally, right? It may sound very similar to maybe how you speak to yourself or like your conscience. That's often the Holy Spirit. And so I would say go to God and ask him to speak to you, and he will speak to you internally most of the time. I mean, he does speak in other ways through other people, through circumstance, yes, but he can speak internally. So pay attention to things like your inner peace, emotions, sensations, promptings that you may have to do something, words in your mind's eye, things like that, dreams and visions or daydreams, things like that. Pay attention to those things. So find a time to get alone with God and ask him to show you what areas of your life need healing. And then just try to observe internally what you're receiving, whether it's ideas or images or memories. And try not to have too much judgment over those things. I would suggest just observe and write them down. Don't be too critical about the things, and don't dismiss them. And you can always go back if you've written them down, and you can discern them, or ask a friend that you have to help you discern them together. So if you do those two things, you will have a good sense of self-awareness. And the self-awareness is key to beginning this process, But after you have the self-awareness and you know what needs to be healed, then you actually need to process that hurt. And this begins with a technique that I found very, very helpful. It's what's known as transferring the blame. You see, sometimes when we get hurt, we get so caught up in blaming the person or the institution or the situation that brought it about that we lose sight of the enemy. And that the enemy is often the one that perpetuates hurts. Remember, it's part of his strategy. He wants to hurt people, so they hurt people, and he wants to create division. We need to remind ourselves that it was the evil one who, in the garden, it was Satan who tempted our ancestors to sin, which brought about the curse, which perpetuated the hurt, which created this world of thorns, which now is under, in large part, under his dominion as he is the prince of this world, and it's given him authority over this world to some degree. So realize that he is the one behind a lot of the hurt that we suffer. So transfer the blame. Is this person really all to blame? Is this party all to blame? Well, probably the enemy had a good part to play, and so put the blame where the blame is due. Also, the next step is to embrace the necessary suffering. Okay, remind yourself that you, like I said before, you can't take out the thorn without it hurting again. So you have to open up the wound. That's going to hurt. There's going to be some suffering involved. And also remind yourself that necessary suffering is the program of this cursed world, of this thorny world we live in. That is the narrative of this world. I mean, the natural world has no problem with the idea that suffering and hurt and death is a part of life, and that's part of the life cycle. Did you know that only 1 in 250,000 cactus seeds ever comes to partial maturity? That's pretty crazy. That's a huge infant mortality rate. Think if you're a cactus. Okay, that's a lot of, you got 250,000 kids dying before one of them takes root. I mean, there's a lot of pain and suffering in the natural world, and somewhat as people, we think that that's going to be different for us, but we live in a cursed world, a world full of thorns, so we should expect suffering to come. Realize that it's a necessary part of life. Death is a necessary part of life cycle. It won't be someday. In the future, Jesus is going to reverse the curse, and there will be no death, no more tears, but in this world, in this life, it is to be expected. And realize that if you do not embrace the necessary suffering of this life, you're actually going to create for yourself 10 times more suffering. It's ironic, isn't it? If you reject suffering, or you ignore it, or you rebel against the necessary suffering, you will create for yourself more suffering. It's only in embracing the necessary suffering of life that you actually can find relief in it. So embrace the necessary suffering. And the last thing is to grieve the hurt. You must grieve the hurt. My suggestion is start a grief journal. This is a hugely helpful activity to do. This is the way that the Bible teaches us we should process grief. The Bible is full of great examples of people processing grief. The Psalms are full of great examples of people processing grief. There's 150 Psalms in the Bible, if you're not familiar, and 70% of them are lament Psalms. And basically that means it's people lamenting. So a lament Psalm really is like an ancient form of a grief journal. So if you want to know how to write a grief journal, how to grieve your hurt and your pain and your suffering, look to the Psalms. And engage in that. So when you start writing, like the psalmist, come before God, with God, in real, honest, emotional outpouring of the hurt that you are feeling and that you've experienced. Pour it out to God. But make sure that when you end like the psalms, and you end with your eyes focused on Jesus, right? And not on yourself. Not a victim mentality. You give it all to God and you leave it with him. And you remind yourself at the end of the day, he's loving, he's with you, and he's walking with you through this. My wife, Lacey, actually makes personalized individual grief journals. So she's a crafter. So she makes these things like from scratch, and she paints and draws them. She puts quotes in there and all different kinds of things. It's great. And so she makes these things and she gives them to people that are suffering. It's part of the ministry that she does. And a friend of mine, a few months ago, he shared with me one day this tremendous, painful experience that had happened in his life. And like, it blew me away when he told me. It was so intense. And I knew it was real and affected him because I happened to be with him on the one-year anniversary, and I actually witnessed him break down in front of me. It was quite extreme. And he said that he was walking with a counselor through this. And that his counselor told him that because he didn't have any faith, any religion, that the grief process was going to be much harder and it was going to take much longer. He asked me about this, and I said, well, it's because our faith gives us perspective to help to understand and process our suffering. I said, the Bible gives us perspective to understand that. And so I gave him a Bible, and I had my wife Lacey make him a grief journal, and I had her put in there quotes from the Psalms and quotes from Ecclesiastes. Also, if you're grieving, Ecclesiastes is also a great book for that. And so I gave it to him, and the last time we talked, he said that the grief journal in the Bible had actually been very helpful to him in going through his grief process. And so even for those that aren't followers of Jesus, grieving past hurts is just a principle of the soul. Because whether you follow Jesus or not, we all have God's fingerprint is on all of our souls. Because all of us were created in his image by him. Whether we choose to acknowledge it or not, does not change the substance and the DNA of our souls. And so the principles of the soul apply to everyone, whether you accept them or not. And so there are a few tools you have to be able to heal your past wounds. You need to forgive, gain self-awareness, embrace the necessary suffering, and grieve the hurt. And of course, if you want to walk through this, we'll be walking through these steps in our Soul Care Lab tomorrow night here in the upper fireside room. Tomorrow starting at 7:30, and you'll have an opportunity to journal and work through and have some breakout sessions and discuss in group time with other people. And it's a good start of the journey if this is something that you feel you need to do. But at the end of the day, if you look to someone or some process or some book or some guru or something to try to heal the hurts in your soul, it's not going to work entirely. You're always going to feel like it's inadequate and you'll be left disappointed. Because at the end of the day, those things can't bring true healing. Only Jesus can truly heal at the end of the day. He is the great physician. He created your soul. He knows your soul. And he can heal your soul. This is what the Bible says in regards to Jesus. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. See, Jesus came in order to suffer, in order to redeem creation, this creation that he made, all of us and everything about us and our souls. He came to save us and rescue us from a world of thorns. What we must understand is that this is not just some future reality, although that is certainly true, and one day he will set all things right at the end of days. But it's also a reality for us now. His wounds have paid for the healing of our wounds, not just for the future, but even for right here and right now. And Jesus has real healing for you. And so now perhaps you have some hurts. I know you got some hurts. And they're really bad. And there's some thorns, some splinters there that have been embedded very deep into your soul. And you need healing. And perhaps you've lost all hope that anything is ever going to be any better. And you've tried maybe a lot of things. Maybe you've tried counseling. Maybe you've tried reading your Bible in prayer. But let me tell you, Jesus can heal you. There is healing in the presence of Jesus. And so I encourage you to take time to be alone with Jesus. The healing presence, it's called. And the healing presence of Jesus is something real and powerful and tangible. But you can't get there unless you get alone with him in silence and solitude and you invite him into your hurt. And when you invite Jesus into your hurt, you find out that he is extremely powerful to heal and that he totally understands exactly what you're going through. He was there. He lived. He knows what your pain feels like. If I can recall the story that I told earlier about this really deep hurt that I experienced in my adult life, this wound was very, very deep because this person ended up betraying me to the point where I lost my job, where a lot of people abandoned me, and where people who I would consider friends, actually they ended up turning against me. And so it was an extremely deep, deep hurt. But thankfully, about a year before that, I had discovered the biblical principles of soul care. I discovered them through a book called Soul Care by Rob Reamer, and I went to a conference of his. It's actually the same conference that's being held in November in Wellspring Church that I really recommend you to go to. Rob Reamer will be the one, the keynote speaker there as well. And it taught me these principles, and I worked through these principles for about a year, and I got a lot of healing. And because of that, I learned that hurt people hurt people, and that if I wasn't willing to engage this wound, that it was going to leave a thorn in my soul, and that when I went to another place, that I was going to hurt those people, and I was going to hurt that place that I went to. And I didn't want that to happen. And so I invited Jesus into a process to heal me, and I was committed to walking with him through that. And I had two toddlers at that time, and so if you tell me you don't have time or you don't have space, believe me, if anyone could have said I didn't have time and space, it was me. But what I found was that after everyone went to bed, about 11:30 at night till whenever, 12:30, 1:30, however late I wanted to, the house was quiet, it was silent, and there I could be alone with Jesus. And so night after night, for months, I would just spend time alone with Jesus. Not every single day of the week, maybe like four or five times a week. But I would spend time there with Jesus, and I would sit with him, and I invited him into my pain. And it was in that time that he showed me one day, and I remember the night, it was so powerful. He showed me that he knew exactly what I was going through because he had been there himself. See, Jesus was a good guy, and he loved people. It says in the book of John that he loved those who were given to him. And so he loved people, and he cared for them, and one of his closest disciples, Judas, he betrayed him. And then all of his other disciples, people who he said in the book of John, he considered them friends, when he was falsely accused and brought before the authorities, they never defended him. Nobody came to his defense. No one came to his rescue. That must have hurt a lot, the betrayal and the abandonment that he experienced. People who he had spent years together, doing life together, not standing up for him. My friends, Jesus, he did not prevent my suffering. He probably will not prevent your suffering. Often we think that if we follow Jesus, then he should always take us around our suffering. But that's not what it says. It says he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He takes us often through our suffering, doesn't he? But he always promises to hold our hand through it and to be there with us. And he knows the pain you've experienced exponentially more because he experienced pain and suffering exponentially more than you did. Our God is a God who suffered. Did you know that? He didn't have to. He's not a God who sits up there with his hands clean in an ivory tower, but he comes down and he gets his hands dirty and he became like one of us, even though he knew that he was going to have to suffer because he was coming to live in a world that was full of thorns. And so, of course, he was going to get beaten and bruised along the way. And he embraced that for us to understand this. And so on that day, when he showed that to me, that he had been through experience very similar to mine, but it was exponentially more hurtful to him, it was all of a sudden like I was sitting with like my best trusted friend. And I was saying to him, like, man, this sucks. This stinks. This hurts so much. It's so hard. It's unfair. It's and Jesus was like saying, yeah, man, I get it. It does stink. I know. I get it, man. I get it. And it was so comforting to me. And it was during those times that I actually grew so close with Jesus because I realized that it's in our suffering we have fellowship with Jesus. Did you know that? If he suffered like us, then it's in our suffering we have fellowship with him and we understand him. We were singing these songs earlier, and like there was like two of them. I don't know if you guys plan these things, but it really struck me emotionally because they both said that he was taking us through the fire, something along those lines. And it struck me because in the ministry we have a term called going through the fire. And they say you're not really a pastor until you've been through the fire once or twice. And that was terminology that I used to use, going through the fire. Maybe when you start out, you think that you shouldn't have to go through the fire, or that being a follower of Jesus means that you're not going to suffer. Well, that's silly. Didn't Jesus suffer? Didn't the disciples suffer? Didn't he say you're going to have to suffer to follow me? Of course. What I realized about the fire is that it's necessary, but it's a refining fire. And that it's good, and you should embrace it, because Jesus is actually molding you in the person he wants you to be, and he's burning away all the chaff. That's a biblical word. You know what I'm saying. Like, it's burning away all the unnecessary, nasty stuff. It's like a chisel. And a chisel hurts, yes, but a chisel's the only way you get to a perfectly defined statue. And he's conforming us to his son, Jesus, who himself went through the refining fire. Many times more hurtful than anything we've experienced in this life. And so I would say that's my encouragement to you, my friends, would be to embrace the suffering and invite Jesus into that with you. Because remember, you have a friend in Jesus if you are suffering. If you've suffered, if you've hurt, if you have wounds in your life, you have fellowship with the one who's also experienced that. So get alone. Bring your Bible with you, bring a journal with you, and invite him into that space. And make sure you have lots of time in case he decides to show up and lead you in a way that you need to engage with. And so I would love to just pray for you at this time. And after I pray for you, Pastor Zach's going to come up, and he's going to lead you through an exercise that's going to help you to respond and reflect on what we've talked about today, so that even if you can't make the conference or even if you can't make the Soul Care Labs, that you could have an opportunity to be able to, at least in a small way, put into practice the Soul Care principle that we've talked about today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every single soul that you've brought here today. Lord, we know that you've made each person in your image and you intimately love each and every single one of them. And you never will that anything terrible would happen to them or that they would suffer. That is not your will. But it is a necessary part of this fallen world that we live in through the curse that we brought about. One day, Lord, you're going to redeem all this. And it says in your word in Revelation 21 that you will wipe away every single tear from our eyes, and we long for that day. In the meantime, Jesus, would you refine us through the fire? And would you heal us? Would you heal us, Lord, so that we would not hurt other people? Would you help show us how we can use this to become more like you, to get rid of sin in our lives, to be able to become more like you? Be gracious to us, Holy Spirit, that when we do spend time with you, that you would speak to us. If we ask you, would you give us responses that we can clearly identify that this is you speaking? Would you show up to us in those times when we choose to be alone with you? Would you guide us through your word? Lead us to the scriptures. Illuminate our minds, Lord, to how we need to process our hurt. And heal us, Lord. Heal us so that we can be a redeemed people, a redeemed community, where people come in and people are healed and where hurt is not perpetuated. And we bind the enemy from being able to use the hurts from our past, to be able to use those in any way to stir up conflict. And we ask for your healing, for your glory and your name's sake. Amen.
Thanks, Keith. Good morning, church. My name is Zach, and I'm the associate pastor here of Youth Outreach and Congregational Care. And I just want to say thank you for joining us here this morning. And we started on this thing last week where the stuff we're learning in this series isn't just going to be a bunch of head knowledge, yet we're going to carve out time in our service for us to practically experience healing, to practically experience the presence of Jesus in our souls, in healing our innermost beings. And so the question I just want to ask is there still something in your life? Is there a wound that comes to mind? And so we're practically going to carve out space for that today to really dive deep into the things that might still be in your life. Is it abuse? Is it words? Is it anger? Is it frustration? Is it neglect? Is it pain? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it something that you've been carrying around for far too long? And as I mentioned this right now, you might even be sitting there thinking, you're like, wow, like I really have something in me that I haven't been able to shake for years. And so today is the day in which you can actually take the first step in finding freedom. And so healing comes in many different ways and at many different times. The beautiful thing about Jesus is that he can heal us miraculously in an instant. But a common theme that we see with Jesus is that he walked with people. He walked with people through their entire lives as they continued to cry out to him saying, Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. Lord, heal me in the thing that I'm really struggling with. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and enter into that. And this common theme that we see in Scripture is this thing called lamenting. And so if you don't know what lamenting is, to lament is basically to express deep grief or hurt unto the Lord. We can lament through words or actions, and ultimately this is done through life as we journey with our eyes focused on Lord Jesus, as we bring our hurts and our wounds and our pains. And so Jesus journeyed with people through their pain, and he continually makes his presence known as people work out their wounds in their lives. And so the beautiful thing, actually, as Keith had mentioned about the lament psalms, is that they are poems and hymns and beautiful literature expressing human struggle. And so these psalms are prayers that lay out a troubling situation to the Lord and make a request for his help in times of hurt. And so it's a common theme that we see in humanity. It's a common theme of people, you know, crying out to the Father saying, Lord, help me. I need you. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know where to go from here. I need you to help me through my struggle. And so I'm just going to read. I'm going to read a lament psalm. And in the seat back in front of you, there's a piece of paper. It looks like this. It's blank. If you want to pull that out. And then I'm just going to read a psalm for us. And then as I'm reading, I'm going to invite the worship band to come back up. And they're just going to play some light music in the background. And this is a time where you can actually focus on what is being said in this psalm. And you can plug your own situation into that. The words are going to be up on the screen. I'm going to read it once. And then from there, we're going to go out in closing our service. But I just want to encourage you, my friends, that whatever comes to mind, write it down on that piece of paper and take that home with you. It could be months, it could be days, it could be years down the road, but when you can confidently say that the Lord healed me in this thing, in this wound that I have, and I no longer have that wound in my life, I would encourage you to take that back out and to remind yourself of how far you've come. Burn that piece of paper, cut it up, throw it in the water, whatever you have to do to remind yourself that you walked into perfect freedom in Jesus' name. So let me just read and meditate on what I'm saying. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me, because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me.
Just as we close our service this morning, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Scott Cushing, and I'm the current chair of the Elders Board here at Sheridan Park. Just want to remind you that we do have a prayer ministry at the church, so after the service closes, there will be people here at the front who are prepared and happy and willing to pray with you. Perhaps it's something that you're processing because of the message that we've heard this morning, or perhaps you have certain prayer requests that you'd like to bring before the Lord. I just want to open that up to you, and feel free to come forward after the service is over. Secondly, I want to remind you of our Soul Care Labs. As Keith has mentioned, 7:30 tomorrow night. If there's something here that you've heard in the service that you just want to go a little bit deeper on, have that extra time to dig deeper into what God is saying to you, and perhaps there's some specific areas of healing that you need help with, that Soul Care Lab is available for you. And finally, I want to do one thing. We have the privilege here at Sheridan Park of having two fantastic pastors, Pastor Keith and Pastor Zach. And October is actually Pastor Appreciation Month. And, you know, it's one of those times where it's like Mother's Day. It's like, it comes once a year. Does that mean you should only appreciate your mom once a year? Of course not. But sometimes we need that reminder to cause us to pick up the phone and call our mother and say thanks. And Pastor's Appreciation Month is like that. And don't read anything into the fact that this is actually October 27th, close to the end of the month, because we couldn't possibly handle a whole month of pastor appreciation. But in all honesty, we do have two wonderful pastors. And why don't you come up, Keith and Zach, please? I know these guys well, and I know that they have a tremendous love for the Lord, but more than that, I know that they have a tremendous love for us. And a pastor's job is unique, in like many others. All of us, I'm sure, have experienced the weight of a particular position, just a regular job. I know that we feel that. But these guys, I believe, because of their position, because of their responsibility before the Lord and in leading us, they carry a weight that goes beyond what many of us carry. So I just want to say to you guys this morning that we love you. We're thankful for you. We want to spend a minute and just pray for you now. And we're thankful for your whole families, for your wives, Vanessa, thankful for you. Lacey, Lacey's probably downstairs with the kids, but we are so thankful for you. And I just hope that throughout the entire year, we'll use the opportunities that we have just to say thank you to these guys for all that they do for us. But let's just do that in a very tangible, practical way now and just give them a round of applause. So now I'm just going to, why don't we all stand? I'm just going to lead us in a closing prayer as we bring these guys before the Lord. Father, we thank you for these men and their families that you have brought to us. We thank you for their impact in our lives. We thank you that they have heard your calling on their life and that they have responded to it. We thank you for the way that you have gifted them. We thank you that they're willing to display these gifts here amongst us. I pray, dear God, that you would protect them from anything that the evil one would love to throw in their path to discourage them, to tear them down, to bring division within their families, anything that the evil one would love to do just to discourage them. Lord, we pray against that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just want to say thank you to you for all that they do, for the way that they listen to us, for the way that they love us, for the way that they lead us. We just thank you for them and for their families, in Jesus' name. And as we leave this place, dear God, we pray that you would leave us with the assurance that there is healing in the name of Jesus, that we live in a world of hurt, but it's a world that Jesus stepped into, that you, Jesus, stepped into. And you're not unfamiliar with the circumstances that we deal with. You're not unfamiliar with our pain, but you stepped into our very pain so that you could understand us and bring healing to us. So we thank you for that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and go in peace.